You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you will. 1 Corinthians 6. And we'll look at the scripture together, and we'll use it as a springboard to some other text in just a moment. You wide awake and alert? Are you? I hope so. And Brother Peter's awake and alert. Good to have you in church. And the Aldamas, good to have you here. Visitors, we're delighted you're here today. And I thank God for each and every one of you. And a freshman over here in college, we're glad you're here on both sides. Most of our college students are out. Well, we're meeting here. These buildings have refilled, and there's young people in these buildings who've got their bus teams up here. And we have the other property. It's filled with the Spanish and the Sea Bus Ministry, and we are thankful for that and thankful for all that God has done for us. Amen. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 today in verse number 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Let's stand together, shall we? In reverence to the Word of God today. I know most of the time we don't, but we will today. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. Let us read it together and beginning in verse number verse 19. Ready? Begin.
One, knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye are bought with a price.
For prayer, Father, what a mighty crowd and what a great responsibility you've given to me today to preach, to represent you, to speak to these dear folks that I love so very much. I thank you for those that are back with us. Thank of those that are shut in, and I'd ask that this service would be a blessing to them on this this day today. I thank you for our visitors and guests that are here. And Lord, may they have a heart that's open. May all of us have hearts that are open, ears that are attentive, and a mind that's ready to hear the Word of God. I thank you for what you're going to do in our midst today. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to know the day I got saved, 68 years ago, so many wonderful things transpired in my life. I knew these things. I knew that when I got saved, I got saved. I was born again. I looked up in my study this week, this song, this, I remember when my burdens rolled away. I had carried them for years, night and day. When I sought the blessed Lord, and he took him at his word. I remember when my burdens rolled away. Rolled away, rolled away. I remember that night in 1956. Where I asked Jesus Christ to say, I know I got saved. Amen. Second thing I knew that my name was written down. Yeah. I knew that. We had sung, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. And I could say that. Amen. Thirdly, I knew not only was I saved and my name was written down, I absolutely, for me, maybe it did not happen this way, but I absolutely felt so clean. I remember the sins of my past were all gone at last. And I've sinned since then. But I remember so vividly when I walked out that aisle and came down at the invitation. I didn't want to go. I waited the first stanza of the second. I think about the third. I'm not certain about that. But about the third, I stepped on out and I walked down. And I remember a load had been lifted. It just seemed like a load had been. Number four, I remember I had joy in my heart. Yeah. Number five, I remember telling my dad, first man I saw after I got saved that night. He was out at the back door. We had one little door, solid little door. And I opened that door and I walked out and there's my dad. And I said, Dad, I just got saved. Now, he later in life, I said, you remember that, Dad? He goes, oh, I can't remember. I can't remember that you did that. Well, I did do that. I remember. And I remember telling my dad I got saved and born again. I did not know this took place. I had no idea this took place. Oh, I remember getting saved. My burdens were, I remember the joy in my heart. I remember that clean heart that I had. My heart was once with sin, dark with sin, but Jesus came in and made it pure, white, and clean within. Oh, I remember that. And I remember telling my dad, it's just natural you want to tell somebody the good news.
Yes.
But I did not know this. I did not know it for a year to 1957 and then 1958. I didn't know this. I didn't know it till 1960, 61, 62, 60. I never knew this took place. And it was somewhere around 1964, 65, 66, somewhere around there. I realized that this took place. I didn't realize it until 1969 that how deep it was. I was in college and I began to study the Word of God and get to know God a little bit more. But what took place that night, you read about it. The Holy Spirit moved in my life. I didn't know that, brother. You guys probably did. I didn't realize that took place. The Holy Spirit, we read about it here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What? Knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. What should we say? Which is in you. My message, I didn't know all about salvation. I didn't realize that day that Jesus Christ died. I realized that. I didn't realize that He sent the Holy Spirit into my life. Acts chapter 19, verse number 2 says this. And you, and He said unto them, have received the Holy Spirit since ye believed. Have you received Him? Paul said to those Ephesians, have you received Him? And they said, we have not so much heard whether there be a Holy Spirit. That's like me. They did not know there was a Holy Spirit. The Bible says when the Holy Spirit came in my life, it was at salvation. The Bible says this in Romans 8, 9, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And if so, that the Spirit of God dwell in you. If any man have not the Spirit of God, he is not of God. He's not God's child. You got the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You got all of the Spirit of God as salvation. The Bible says, for by one Spirit, we are all baptized, whether it be Jew or Greek, all baptized and all made to drink of that same Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, someone took up residence in my heart. Now, he's not always had all control of my life, because sometimes I've taken it back. I get all of the Holy Spirit. You will not get more of the Holy Spirit. So I need to get more of the Holy Spirit. No, and we're going to see in a moment what He does. But I got all the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit doesn't get all of me. There have been times in my life where I've done what I wanted to do. I've made decisions that I want to make. But today, I want us to see that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell with you, comes to live with you. And what is His function? What is the function of the Holy Spirit of God? Well, turn with me to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 14. The function of the Holy Spirit of God. What does He do? You got Him as salvation. Now, what does the Holy Spirit of God do? Well, number one, He comforts us. He comforts you. He comforts me in all of our tribulation. The Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Catholic Church these days are making much of the Holy Spirit. And they're talking about the Holy Spirit. And that's nothing against them. I just say they are making a lot about the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. He is God. And the Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 16, but I pray the Father that He should give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, of whom this world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, and he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you, and I will not leave you comfortless. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And the world doesn't have this comforter. God promises it to you and to I. And so today, you go through trials. You go through heartache. You don't need to take your life. That's foolishness. You don't need to run away and say, I can't go on in life. No, he's the comforter. The comforter will come. Thank God for that. Look in the Bible what he says in verse number 26. But the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. There you have the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all things, and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I said unto you, peace I leave unto you, my peace I give unto you. How about chapter number 15 and verse number 26? But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth shall proceed from the Father and testify of me. How about chapter 16 and verse number 7? Chapter 16, verse number 7. And nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you. So the Holy Spirit of God, he comforts you in all your tribulation. I think of the difficulties that this church faces on a weekly basis. People that have passed away even this week. Well, people that have passed away the last 2 weeks, people that pass away every week in our church, whether it be mother or father or brother or sister or aunt or uncle or whoever it may be, young and old, every week this year we've had someone passing away. Well, the Bible says he will comfort you, not like the world can comfort, but God's word. God, like the world comforts through their pills and through their yoga and through their this and through their that. But the Holy Spirit of God, his function is to comfort you.
Amen.
That's his function.
Yes, sir.
That's his responsibility to comfort. What else is the Holy Spirit's responsibility? Chapter 16, verse 13. 16 John 16, 13. Now when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He'll guide you. Do you think of this today, that he'll guide you to make a right decision or a wrong decision? He will guide you, or you'll make the wrong decision. He'll guide you. I think of in my life, every week I can look at this, and I know there are decisions I've made that the Spirit of God has guided me. I was trying to make a decision. It's nothing major, but a little decision. And I waited a week, and then another week, and then another week. And then I talked to my wife about it months later. And then I talked to the Lord about it. And God just never gave me a peace about it. Well, his function is to give me peace and to guide me. And I decided, I said, no, that's a good thing. For that person, that's a good thing for their home, their family, their life. That's a good thing for everyone. But I don't have the peace of God. Never act upon something if you don't have the peace of God. He's going to guide you. He'll guide you into truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth." He'll guide you in God the Father, God the Son, God the. He'll guide you into the right path. Don't go forward if you don't have an inner calm and peace about it. See, the Holy Spirit's function is to guide you. The Holy Spirit's function is to comfort you. Number one, Holy Spirit's job is to what? Comfort us. Secondly, is to guide us. Number three, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict us. In chapter number 16, where you are in John, verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter, he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and judge righteousness and judgment of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness to go to my Father. You see, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. He convicts us of right and wrong. Don't do that. There's so many times I feel like saying something, and the Spirit of God says, no, don't say anything, Jack. This family may be watching right now. They're in another state. And I said something to the gentleman, not knowing the situation. And when I said it, I didn't feel like I should have said it. It was not convicting. It was nothing wrong. It was nothing bad. It was nothing. But I felt like, and he said, "Oh, no, Brother Traber." And he told me it was a skin condition he had. No, that's no big deal. But it was a big deal to me. Because I don't go to another church to try to hurt a pastor or hurt his people. And that man, he's so accustomed to this. And he said, "No, it's okay." I wrote him a letter. I said, "I did not know. But I want to apologize for saying that to you." Now, you say, well, he probably forgot. Well, he did probably forget about it. He's accustomed to it. I wasn't making fun of it. I just said something. You know, the Spirit of God said, "Don't say that." And I said it. I said, you know, I felt like God, the Spirit, was just telling me, "Don't say anything." And I said something. And it wasn't some gross skin condition. It was just something that he looked like he was more tan. And I said, "I can tell where you've been. You've been out in the sun." But he's always out. He's got a face that it's red because of this condition. It just looked like he had a suntan. Now, I wasn't wrong, but the Spirit of God was saying, "Don't say anything," and I said it. I wonder how many times you said something that you opened your mouth and you said something you should not have said. I wonder how many times in your marriage, and my wife would know, because I'm trying to be very quiet. But sometimes I'll open my mouth and say something that I should not say. I'm trying to be very careful not to say anything that would discourage her. I try to work with our staff and our people here and try to make sure that everything I say will bring glory to God. Amen. That's what the Word of God says, the Spirit of God. He will convict us of wrong and what not to say, what to say. You see, the Holy Spirit comforts us. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. And if the Spirit of God's telling you that, then don't go there. Don't say that, because the Holy Spirit has a function, and his function is to, number one, comfort us. Number one, to comfort us. Number two, secondly, is to guide us. Number three is to convict us. Number four, you're listening so well. He empowers us. Go to the book of Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, but ye shall receive power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and under the uttermost part of the earth. He empowers us. That word power there is that word, that ye shall receive power. That's the word dunamis, where we get the word dynamite. It sounds the same in the Greek, and then dunamis is dynamite. Ye shall receive a dynamite power. The Holy Spirit of God wants me to witness for him. He wants me to be a voice box for him. And he'll put people in our path that we can talk to about the Lord. And that's what we're supposed to do. Say, well, what if they don't want it? Every single week of my life, I try to pass a track here and there. And then somewhere where I forget, or I don't have one, or whatever the case might be. Or I just feel like, well, they've received it so many times. They're just probably getting tired of me. Let me tell you something. That's the Spirit of God saying, you ought to do something, son. Amen. Because he wants to empower me for witnessing. Yes. And telling him, young people, that Christ is the only answer for your life. Amen. He's the only hope for your life. You got to have Christ. Amen. And you have to have the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit, he's the one that's comforting your heart. He's the one that guides your heart. He's the one that convicts your heart. He's the one that empowers your heart. Four things. Number one, what does he do? He comforts. Number two, what's the Holy Spirit do? Number three, he does what? Convicts. Number four, he does what? Empowers us. Number five, you're listening great, he fills us. In Ephesians 5:18, it says, be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit of God. God wants me to be empowered for witnessing and for giving out the gospel, empowered so I have wisdom in my marriage, in my home, in my life, empowered with the Spirit of God. That's His job, to empower. He's living within me.
Amen.
I've said this so many times through the years, you've heard it, most of you. But when He empowers me, He fills me. And when He said that we're going to be filled with the Spirit, filled means that He occupies every part of my life. Everything that this brain, and I pray every day, dear God, it's not much, but I give it to You today. I want it to be led by You. I want to be guided by You.
Praise the Lord.
So I can regulate Him to a corner of my life. You've heard what I'm going to say. I come to your home, knock on the door. And I knock on the door and you greet me, Pastor. It's so good to see you. I said, I'm glad to see you. And Ralph puts me in the closet, the front room there. I'm there. I'm in the house. About an hour later, I thought, his wife says, I thought Pastor was at the door. I thought I heard his voice. Was he here? Oh, yes. Well, where is he? Well, he's in the closet. That's where he belongs. He's in the closet. No. And his wife, thank God for you ladies. Because this husband you're sitting next to, well, no, I won't tell you what he is, but he's got me in the house. I'm in the house. But I'm not filling the house. And she brings me and says, I want you to see our living room, Pastor. I'm so sorry. And our living room and our kitchen and our bedroom and our bathroom and this is our house, all of it. I want you to see it. You know what? She's allowed me to fill her house. And that's what the Spirit of God, you've got all the Spirit of God you'll ever need.
Amen.
But does He have all of you? And I need Him to fill my life.
Yes.
I can't make a mistake in my journey of this life right now. I don't have enough time to make it up and change. I've got to make sure that I have the right decisions, and so do you. You don't know, but you might be the next one on the road out. I keep thinking of our dear friend, Brother Clarence Sexton, last year, December 12th, he passed away. And this year, November, just this week, his wife passed away. They're all our age. He passed in Knoxville, Tennessee, and he was here a year ago, and he was gone on the 12th, and she was here, and she's gone. Our life is but a vapor.
Yes, sir.
And oh, how we've got to make the right decisions in life. Amen. We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us, and He's doing all this for us if we could just depend upon Him. Because He'll comfort us, and He'll guide us, and He'll convict us, and He'll empower us, and He will fill us, and then He will call us. The Bible says, separate me and Barnabas, and they fast and pray, and they separate Paul and Barnabas for the work where I've called. That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's Acts chapter 13. The Spirit of God was there speaking to the heart and said, I want you to go to the Jew, and I want you to go to the Gentile, but especially the Gentile, so that they can hear the plan of salvation. I'm coming to you with a broken heart over our churches today. Our churches are not sending young people to any Bible college to train for the ministry. I'm telling you, friend, I went back and I looked at the last Lord's Table. There are 15 Bible colleges that have closed their doors since I've come to be the pastor of this church. Now, I think there's more than that, but that just came to my mind, 15, maybe 20, but 15. And these other colleges are so down in enrollment. And those that are not down in enrollment are not preparing young men to be preachers of the gospel as servants of Jesus Christ. We are at the lowest numbers we've ever been in America's history for years now, maybe 100, 150 years. They're preparing to serve God. The Holy Spirit of God is speaking to your heart and saying, what can you do? Here am I, Lord, send me. I think of these poor people that are on mission fields, and our missionaries, God bless them, it's a hard road, but somebody's got to go and tell them the good news. This man behind me, and my file is so thick of churches right now that need pastors. I got a church that calling me, and they're calling me all the time. Every week I have all these calls, but this one particular, a great church. I remember when our church started in a distant state, and a great church. They've been without a pastor about a year, year and a half, and they want a pastor. And they have buildings and property and people. But who do you send? Well, there's not enough laborers. The laborers are few. Why can't you go? You say, well, we'll lose another tithing family. We'll lose a worker here and there. I know that. We lose them all the time. But God takes care of it, ladies and gentlemen. God's not gonna let us out to dry when we're sending young people, preparing young people for the ministry, the gospel ministry, to serve God. Here am I, Lord, send me.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. I believe he's doing his job, but I don't believe we're listening. Number seven, he restrains us. Acts 16, 6 and 7, he restrains us. No, don't go there. Don't do that. Don't say that. Number next, he speaks to us. Revelation 2, he that hath an ear, says it seven times, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What is God? He still speaks. I know his voice. He still speaks. God speaks to your heart. God speaks to my heart. Not an audible voice, but he speaks to me. He deals with me. Jack, go do this. Go do this. Don't do this. Don't say that. Do say this. Just listen to me. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Number nine, I'm done. He'll intercede for us. Romans 8, likewise the Spirit knoweth and helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. I'm trying my very best to get us some land, get us some property, get us some building space. We're out of Sunday school place. I want a school for the Christian school, a hotel for the college, and all these things. And I know I'm running out of time for all these things. But can I tell you something? It is my job to come to God. And I've come in, I'm saying, Lord, I believe I'm right in asking for this, but may the Spirit of God take this and take it to the throne of grace for me. Amen. And God, I'll be happy with what you do. But I'm asking you for some space. I'm asking you for parking. I think of how this morning all of our college students have to park off. And tonight on other lots and get on buses and go to other lots, and our people do as well. And we have to do that on both properties. And these shuttles have been going for almost 50 years now. They went back in 1981, it really, when we had no parking, zero parking, and we were building a big building. We had zero parking for that year, and we were over here, and we could not park in the residential area. Do you know that God's never provided that like I want for you? But look what he has provided. And these dormitories back over here, and these for men and women training for God, and the gymnasium, and the dining hall, and this auditorium, and the classroom, the academic, and the other property, and a gymnasium there, and a dining hall there, and a fireside room, and a library, and a wood shop, and a shop for computer work, and where people can, all that God's done. That's because the Holy Spirit of God says, I think it's time. I believe this lecture was God saw was time. And God saw the need, and I'm certainly not believing that this man is all right. But I am saying this, that I believe that God knows what he's doing. And he's given us the Holy Spirit of God. And that Holy Spirit wants to guide you. It wants to help you, wants to comfort you, wants to speak to you, wants to intercede for you. A man years ago was walking down in London, a little sidewalk. And with this eye closed, and he's just walking down, it seemed like the Spirit of God said, there's a chapel right there. Why don't you just go in and just preach? He went in and turned the lights on. It was open, as it was in that day and as it was over here at Clyde Avenue so many times. It was just open. You could go in when we first arrived. That building on Clyde Avenue had a little bullet hole. If it was ever locked, all you had to do was there was a hanger there, and you pushed it in, and you pulled the bar back, and you got in. So everybody, I'd find people in that building. I said, I've never seen you on Sunday. So, well, I'm in the neighborhood. They gave me a key. And we had people in there all the time. And this old boy went in, walked in, turned the lights on. They said, Lord, there's no one here. Why would you want me to preach to an empty crowd? And he stood up there and he began to preach the Word of God. And he just preached. He got all finished with his message and gave the invitation to nobody because nobody was there. Nobody could come. He walked out, shut the lights off, and he walked out. About a year later, a man said, you know, you preached that day, but nobody was there. And he said, do you remember that? I said, I sure do. I wonder why the Spirit of God had me go in there and preach to an empty place. He said, well, it wasn't empty. I was on the outside. And I stood at that window and listened to you plead with people to come to know Christ. And he said, you were preaching to an empty building, but I was standing there on this other side listening. And I got saved that night. He listened to the Spirit of God. God, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, may sometimes say, no, don't do that. All these things that the Spirit of God does for us. I didn't know it, Brother England. I didn't know when I got saved. All that was working in my life. I didn't know the Holy Spirit came to dwell in me. And if any man have not the Spirit of God, he's none of his. Romans 8:9. But the Spirit of God was doing something in my life. And since that day that I found out about 67 or 66 or 68 or 60, or certainly 69, began to understand it, the Holy Spirit's been living within me.
Praise the Lord.
He can convict me, Brother Peter. Yes. He does. Don't say that. Don't do that.
Yes.
Don't act this way. Don't go buy that land. Our Father, I don't know if I got the thought across or not, but I do know you got it across in my own heart. And I know, Father, that we spent a good service, the chorale singing, Naomi singing, the choir singing, the special music that sang and participated in the congregational singing. It's been a great opportunity to be together. God, this morning, as you're speaking to our hearts, I pray that we'd realize that the Holy Spirit lives within us if we're saved. His job is to convict us of wrong and convict us of right and convict us of sin. Our heads are bowed. That's why, with our heads bowed, I speak to you. That's why I don't ever have to worry if it's right or wrong. I know. I shouldn't say that. The Spirit of God's working in my heart. And I have no more Spirit of God than you do. Child of God, we've all been given the Spirit of God at salvation. I didn't know that. But I'm so thankful it came in to dwell within me. And it comforts me. And it guides me. And it convicts me. And he empowers me, and he fills me, and he seals me. And he helps me. I pray, Father, that each of us would take inventory. Are we listening to the Holy Spirit? No, don't do that. Are we listening? And say, sometimes, Lord, we just go ahead and say, I don't know if God's speaking to me or not, but we know. We know if it's right or wrong. And the Spirit of God will never lead us into wrong. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Say, Brother Treber, on this Sunday morning, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but I've been neglecting the Holy Spirit, neglecting walking with Him and talking to Him. I regulated Him to a closet in my life instead of filling my whole life. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up all over this house? Would you slip your hand up all over this house? Thank you. Thank you. You're saved, but that's... And we all have that tendency. Some of the best people I know just raise their hand. I wonder who's here without Christ. There's no, you can lie. I lied to my mother before my salvation. But I tell you what, I couldn't lie to her afterwards. I did, but it's always convicted. He'll convict us of wrong. Pastor, pray for me. I need to come to know Christ. This day, I need to know Him. Would you pray for me? Would you slip your hand up all over the house? I need to be saved. I know I do. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our Father, you know the great need of this hour, those that are closest to eternity. We never thought Evelyn Sexton would be this close last week, but she is. She's over on the other side. I sat in this auditorium on December the 12th. And that day that we heard that the music, Christmas music was going on and that Brother Clarence had gone on home to be with you. We didn't know it would be that fast. Just the last report we had, he was doing better. I thank you that we have this moment to make a decision for Christ.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.